Coming up on the DMT One-to-One Show, episode 58, on the 1st of May 2014, an interview with Neil Cocker, founder of the company DizzyJam. Hello everyone and welcome to the DMT One-to-One Show, where we talk to interesting startups and digital music projects every week. You can find out everything on digitalmusictrends.com. Just follow the links to the One-to-One Show and also check out our weekly news show, which comes out every Thursday or Friday, depending on the week. And this week, it's a real pleasure to welcome Neil Cocker, the founder of DizzyJam. So hi, Neil, and thanks for joining me. How's it going?
Hey, good to hear from you, Andrea. Yeah, it's really good. Thanks for inviting me.
It's great to have you. And so we're going to talk about the company. First of all, give us a brief outline or outlook of what the company is all about.
Okay, so my background is the music industry. I used to run record labels. I was a DJ and producer. I sort of DJed all around the world and ran a record label that had a top 10 hit. But we struggled with merchandise, particularly in the electronic music sector.
Right.
And anyway, to cut a long story short, after we closed the record label down, I set up DizzyJam, which is a print-on-demand service for the music industry. So what happens is, if you're a band or a DJ or a record label, you come along, you upload your design, put it on an online version of a T-shirt or a mug or a hoodie, share that with your fans. Your fans say, great, I like that. But I want it in red, medium, or green, large. We print it, we send it direct to the fan, and send the profit to the band. Now, how this differs to normal printing is you don't have to print large amounts in bulk up front.
Right.
You don't have to try and predict sizes and colors. There's no way you can make a loss. It's always 100% profitable. It was just a trying to use print-on-demand technology to make something that was specific to the music industry.
Right.
We have tools that make it, you can attach MP3s to T-shirts or to a mug.
Right.
So you buy a product and you get a free download, all that kind of stuff. We're just a very, very music-focused print-on-demand merchandiser. And
sure. So in that sense, like, when did you start seeing that there was a problem there? How did it come to the fore in your mind that you actually decided to start the company?
Yeah, well, it was. I mean, when I ran the record label, we were very much looking. We would get promotional T-shirts printed up ourselves to go and do gigs. And you go and do a gig in, like, I don't know, Atlanta or sort of Moscow or something, and someone says, "Hey, I love your T-shirt. Can I get one?" And you say, "Yeah, okay. Give me your email address," and they send me an email, and then they'd send you an email, and you go and get a T-shirt printed at your local T-shirt printer, and then you send it to them, and they'd have to send you either a check, because this was pre PayPal, and it was just messy. But we never really had capital to go and just spend shitloads of money on buying 500 T-shirts or whatever, and then never really had a distribution mechanism either. So
sure.
It was never really a particular. We never had an efficient, profitable form of getting merch out to our fans. And I think even more so now, merch is one of the only parts of the industry that's making money for the independent sector. And the interesting thing is nobody's really talking about it. You go to any music conference now and everyone's talking about streaming or downloads, or, merch just isn't seen as sexy. And yet it's one of the only parts of the industry that kind of people in the independent sector actually make any cash from.
Yeah, exactly. And I attended a great panel, actually, at South by Southwest, that was all about merch. But the fact that it wasn't full up to the brim, considering how good it was, is kind of a testament of the fact that people are still overlooking the sector.
Well, that's really interesting, because I looked through the entire schedules for South by Southwest and I couldn't see a single panel about merch, but I obviously missed the one panel, the sort of one of the biggest music conferences in the world. There was one panel out of all those hundreds that was about merch, and it kind of seems a little bit crazy. And I think to a certain extent, people don't realize that there's potential for disruption in that market. There's potential to do interesting things, despite the fact that, we're still dealing with fairly traditional products. That's like a DizzyJam mug.
Right.
And, fundamentally, that hasn't changed as a product for 50, 100 years or whatever. But our methods of delivery and marketing and sales of those can be quite innovative. We recently launched something called soundwavemug.com, you can put in your SoundCloud URL of a track. If you're a producer or a musician, you put it into your track, into our website, and then it automatically creates a mug with that sound wave wrapped around the mug. So it's kind of round here, and then you click a button, you buy it. So you then got a track, your track wrapped around the sound wave. And that just used SoundCloud's API, our API. And so of course, we're still just delivering a mug. Let's not kid ourselves that it's anything like, you know, world-changing technology. But the method of delivery of that, the way that we're providing a unique, individualized product to allow people, that's not necessary to sell to a fan, but those kind of attitudes and techniques are really needed to disrupt the tech market, the music tech market.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, you know, talking about a merch company with an API, you know, it's something that you don't hear every day. So when did it strike you that that was an avenue that was going to allow you to do interesting stuff when it came to physical merchandise?
Well, it's quite interesting, really. I came to this business not really being a tech entrepreneur. I didn't really, I'd heard of Silicon Valley, obviously, and I kind of had a broad understanding of the difference between traditional business and tech companies. But I didn't really understand the subtle differences in the way you have to grow those businesses. And it was really only after trying to secure investment to help us grow that I started to understand those subtleties, because I was being asked questions by investors and mentors that I didn't have the answers to.
Right.
So things like the API and things like the way we structure the company and the number of users we're aiming for have all come out of those discussions. When I first started the company, I was like, I want to start a website that makes it easy for bands to sell merch, which was, you know, I was a DJ, couldn't sell merch, found it difficult. So that was my impetus. But actually, the more I went down that route, the more I realized that it was the technology that facilitates that process. You know, I had to realize that I'm not a printer,
right?
And I've never been a printer, but I'm not a t-shirt printer who is using a website to make it easy for bands. I'm a digital technology entrepreneur providing an e-commerce platform that facilitates that process. I mean, that's a bit of a mouthful, but the subtle difference is that my main business, my main product isn't the t-shirt or the mug or the hoodie or the bag, it's the e-commerce platform. The kind of the printing and all that kind of stuff is almost incidental.
Yeah.
So, you know, because obviously Dizzy Jam is a particular service, but we've got Soundwave mug that allows us to kind of wrap those things around the mug. That's the system that really is unique. And like I say, the API, you know, I didn't even know how to spell API when I started Dizzy Jam. So, you know, it's been a steep learning curve, but we've learned a hell of a lot. And, you know, and now I'm very deeply embedded in the tech music scene.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about technology from the printing side as well, because I know that a lot of printing companies still rely on relatively old school technologies that reward, of course, volume. And if you're printing only a few t-shirts, it's going to cost you loads of money. And if you print 100 or 1,000 t-shirts, it's going to cost you a lot less. So what kind of tech do you have on your end that allows you to print items one-off but still, you know, retain relatively low costs?
Okay, so there's a couple of different processes we use. We still use traditional screen printing because that has always been the that's for bulk order. So when someone comes to us and says, look, we need 200 t-shirts to go out on the road, then fine, we use screen printing because that's always been the best way to do that. In terms of printing ones and twos, we use a variety of different techniques. The main one that's really worth talking about it's relatively new. It's only really a handful of years old, but it's the most flexible. It's something called DTG, direct to garment.
Right.
And if you can imagine your traditional printer that you put your paper into, it's kind of like that in as much as it sprays ink onto the t-shirt. So in theory, you can print a photo in the same way that you could print anything else. It doesn't really matter. You're spraying the ink onto it. It's actually really, really difficult. So. Yeah. A normal printer that, you know, you can't just go and pick up an Epson printer from your kind of local Currys and, you know, they're like tens of thousands of pounds. But they're getting better all the time and you can do more and more interesting things with them. The flip side of it is it's expensive. You know, we've always been transparent about the fact that you will not earn as much per t-shirt printing on demand as you will by printing 100 items. And that economy of scale is the same for pretty much any industry, you know. Yeah. So we're effectively kind of, even though it's done through a printer, somebody's got to hand load that t-shirt into the printer. They've got to treat it with this special chemical first and then put, you know, print it and press a button. And it's a very manual process. So actually it's quite expensive and there's not a huge amount of profit margin left at the end of any given process. Certainly not in comparison to, say, I don't know, you could go and get 50 t-shirts printed for 250 quid, and those t-shirts are like £5 each. So if you can sell them for £10 each, you double your money.
Yeah, exactly.
With something like DTG, you're looking actually, for us, it's the raw materials are costing something like £5. Yeah. And then you've got the stuff like the packaging and the stuff and, you know, whatever. So a t-shirt retails for £15 on our website, or $18 if you're in the States. And we allow set up these rates, and then the bands can charge whatever they want on top. So,
yeah.
For example, most people choose to sell at £15. And that means 25% of the retail price, not the profit, but 25% of the retail price, it actually works out at over 50% of the profit goes straight into the hands of the band. Now, if you compare that to selling a CD through HMV, you're getting about 8 or 9%.
Yeah.
So we're offering 25%, which we feels like a great deal.
Yeah.
It's, I think, just some people's expectations around merch sure. is quite, you know, there's a little bit of management
but
expectations,
you know, you have
to around that.
I guess you have to, you know, weigh in the pros and cons of not having to worry about overprinting. You know, that's the key thing. If you're a band that is just starting out, you don't know really how many t-shirts you need, and you're worried about, you know, spending money that you don't have to print, you know, 200 t-shirts that you're not going to sell, then I guess this is a great solution to at least start out and see how it goes.
Absolutely. And also, you know, we've had, you know, we take all the risk, all the stress, all the hassle. I mean, we've got bands that have sold thousands of t-shirts through us who've never, ever had to, they've earned thousands of pounds from our service, and they've never, ever had to worry about stock, sizing, colors, anything like that.
Yeah, which is a big headache.
Of course it is. So for us, the really interesting thing is when bands and DJs and record labels start to use it innovatively. So we see some bands who say, right, okay, we've got three or four designs and we can't decide which one to go and get 250 printed off for our latest tour. Let's bung them all up, tell our fans, see which one sells the best for the next like 48 hours, then we'll take them all down. And then, you know, so they can just, you know, we all know that we have theories on what design works and what doesn't, but actually 9 times out of 10, our fans surprise us, and we actually realise that we're wrong.
And when you do that, you might also entice the super fans to buy all four. So.
Of course, yeah, exactly, and you know, because there's no cost to creating a product.
Right.
You know, our service is 100% free and always will be. You can only ever make profit. So you get, you're right. You could put a new design up every day, or you can put a design up for 24 hours, or you. I mean, the one thing that we're not interested in getting into the selling MP3 space, because there's, you know, you've got iTunes and then everybody
else. You've got Ions or services doing that.
yeah, exactly. It's just like kind of, it's a crazy competitive market. So what we're actually looking to do, what we actually do now is we allow people to attach MP3s to products. So you can attach like a zip file of an album or just a single track or an unreleased track. And we're finding that people are using that to almost sell their MP3s.
Right.
They're selling an album that wouldn't normally sell because they're attaching it to a physical product.
Sure.
So I don't know, if you released an album normally, you'd sell a handful, but then people would find ways to get it for free. But actually, what we're doing is we're giving it, they're almost seeing as you're buying the album, but you get the t-shirt for free. You know, so it's just the way they choose to package it. So whether, you know, they go away and embed our shop into their site or into their Facebook page, which we give them the tools to do, and yeah, they just kind of, they're doing some really, really interesting stuff through and finding other ways to monetize their music through physical merch, because physical merch cannot be pirated by its very nature.
Yeah, and the second thing that's I guess problematic that I guess you guys have to contend with every day is the question of shipping. So you know, shipping costs worldwide. Have you seen that's not as much of a barrier as you thought it may have been at the beginning, or is that still a big cost if somebody orders from Australia and you have to ship a t-shirt there?
It is a bit of an issue. We're actually talking to some people out in different parts of the world at the moment to help us fulfill orders. We sell a lot of stuff to the States. Nearly a quarter of everything we do, we ship to America.
Wow.
So, you know, we sold a lot of stuff to America, but still, we'd like to be able to do it cheaper and quicker. You know, particularly around Christmas and when international shipping gets busy, we start to have sort of slow deliveries, and that's not good for our customers.
Right.
So, you know, it can take a couple of weeks for something to get to America, and it's frustrating for us, and it's particularly frustrating for customers. And we don't want to let the bands down, because we're sure. representing the bands with their products, and so we want to do a really, really good job and give them a great product sort of as soon as we can. So, you're absolutely right. We don't sell a lot of stuff, for example, to Australia, and I think that's not so much to do with the time. I think as much as anything, that's to do with you know what, it just takes a really long time for stuff to get from from the UK to Australia. And it's just like, so, and the shipping costs are really, really expensive to get, you know, and we try and subsidize stuff as much as we can, particularly to America, which I think is why we do very well in America, is we subsidize those shipping costs. So we actually take a hit on the shipping costs of the States. We try and make those shipping costs as close to what you would pay if you're in America buying from America, so local right. shipping costs. But that's not sustainable for us forever, especially if we suddenly get a million orders. We can't, we're taking a hit on every t-shirt. So we would like to be able to, you know, when I was in Austin for South by Southwest, you know, I went and saw some print guys out there, and we're trying to find people who we think can deliver a really, really high quality product direct to the fans on our behalf, so they can be our print guys in the US, and they would sure. fulfill the North America, perhaps even South America. And, you know, so I think maybe in a couple of years' time, we'll have print bases all over the world of people just fulfilling. And, you know, hopefully everything is fulfilled within 24 hours and sort of on your doorstep. Because, you know, fans want that stuff. They kind of, it's very often an impulse purchase, and they want that stuff like quick, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, and we're talking about the fact that, you know, merchandise is still a relatively dark art, and if you Google, you know, printing t-shirts UK, it's just a mess. You know, you find all these websites, you know, some of them you have to email to ask for a quote, some of them have an yeah. automatic quote that is crazy expensive, and it's just very difficult to organize if you're a band. And I'm sure it's the same thing in the US with local suppliers. So yeah, it sounds like a great service, and I'm sure the people that are listening from DMT are going to go and check it out, and hopefully we'll get some bands on board as well. And so on the bands front, the last question is, how do you get bands to know about the product? Is it more of a word of mouth thing? Because of course it's always hard to rank on Google in the right place for searches.
Yeah,
and so
of course. Yeah, I mean, we're a bootstrap startup, so we don't have a huge marketing budget. And, you know, I would say 90% of the people who've come to us have come through word of mouth.
Right.
Which has been really, really nice, because that's, you know, we've got thousands and thousands of users, and that's because people are talking about us positively. And I like to think it's because we're doing a good job. We're friendly guys, you know. You can find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook. You can email me. I'm neil@dizzyjam.com. We'll answer questions. And we because we're music industry people, our background is music industry. We understand the pains that these bands are going through. So I think that's why we've grown the way we have.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think it's quite interesting. You kind of look at the big music tech companies, the SoundCloud, Spotify's and whatever, and they have these huge, huge, huge marketing budgets. And sometimes you kind of look at them and go, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have some money to spend? And they go and sponsor a house at South by Southwest and has, you know, put your name on Glastonbury and, you know, all those kind of things that those big brands can do. But I think there's a real benefit to growing slowly as well.
And you have your own company.
And we own the company, you know, exactly. Which is nice, because we met some people out in South by Southwest, and they were like, hey, we like what you do. Can we work with you? Can we do some things? And, you know, other music technology platforms. And they were like, and we said, yeah, of course. And they said, who do you need to run this decision by? And I was like, kind of looked down and looked up and said, that decision's made, you know, we don't have to run this decision by anyone. You know, it's kind of, it's just a decision that we can make because we run our own company and we own our own company. And that's kind of rare these days in the technology space, but it's
absolutely
nice.
Yeah, there's a few companies that do that, but they're rare and far between. No, it was an absolute pleasure talking to you, and once again,
thank you.
The website is dizzyjam.com, and Neil, thanks so much, and anytime you want to come on and comment about anything that's happening in the merchandise space, please do give me a shout.
Brilliant. Thanks, Andrea.
And
cheers.
Thanks so much for listening to the DMT One-to-One Show. You can tune in every week for a new podcast and interview with an interesting company or digital music project. Also, go on digitalmusictrends.com. You can sign up to the newsletter on the homepage, or go to bit.ly/DMTlist to sign up right from Bitly. Thanks so much for listening. Have a fantastic week, and until next time.